halfway through the 2025 season right now, and that brings us right to the top games of the week. Five big top 25 matchups. That includes three in the Southeastern Conference. And for the only time this year, all 16 SEC teams will actually be playing against another conference opponent. The race to the college football playoff is heating up.
From across the Volunteer State with your exclusive scouting report, welcome to the Coach's Meeting. This is Coach to Coach.
Dave McGinnis, we're seeing a lot of close competitive conference games. I guess the big reason is, from your perspective, why?
Well, teams know each other now. I mean, they've got enough in the can where they're looking at people. And plus, I mean, teams are pretty well set. There's not going to be any surprises from now on. Now it's not so much about plays, it's about players. And so this is not going to change now. You're into the meat of it, just as you said. You've got all conference games being played now. Everything is on the line. Everything counts. But at this point in the season, you're pretty much who you are, and a lot of it's determined by who you are playing that week and also what the injury situation is, which is always important this time of year.
Well, I think four things in particular. You just hit on one of them. Key injuries. Let's give the example of Oklahoma without their quarterback, John Mateer. Really had absolutely no offense, only 6 points. He did not perform anywhere, what he was expected to play at. But think about this. He was coming back from not just an injured thumb, but one that was operated on 20 days before. Less than 3 weeks into that. But, Mac, you could really tell it by him when looking at that. We're going to discuss this game in a little bit more detail. But, boy, he was just off just a little bit. And when you're off just a little bit against a good football team like Texas, it kind of adds up. So key injuries is one thing. Secondly, playing on the road. We know how difficult that is. Every place on the road seemingly is a tough place to play. Your opponent has knowledge of what you like to do, both offense and defense. And as importantly, they know what you don't like to do, and that's kind of what they're going to try to make you do. And then I think the last thing was they also know each other's personnel. When you get into conference play, Alabama recruits the same players as LSU, who recruits the same players as Tennessee, and so on and so forth. So you know the players that are coming in, what they can do. You can take advantage of that. But I think the big thing that you mentioned was we're halfway through the season. They got six games on tape of you. And, again, they know these coaches – know what you like to do, what you don't like to do, and they also know what their team likes to do also.
Well, that's absolutely right. That's why I say it's not so much now about plays, it's about players. And the matchups are extremely important. And when you get into conference play, you know what the matchups are. And that's what you try to do. You try to get the most advantageous personnel matchups that you can get. And you're 100% right. These guys know everybody. I mean, they know the players. The players know the other players, too. Coaches don't only know the other players, the other coaches. The players know the other players.
Well, and many of these coaches have worked together. They kind of move around in this league, especially the assistant coaches. Mac, undefeated is whittled down with Oregon, Oklahoma, and Missouri losing, all to conference opponents, by the way. And this is going to certainly continue. Let's talk a little bit about when we look going forward. Championships are one thing, conference championships, but the college football playoff, that's kind of the holy grail at the end of the year. I call it the two-loss threshold. You can lose two games, and you can lose maybe more than that, still be in the conference race. But if you look at how competitive this 12-team college football playoff is, you better stay two or less, or you're probably not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it at more than two. I mean, and a lot of it is going to come down to the ones that have two losses. It's going to come down to strength of schedule. I mean, we all know that when you're looking at it. But as there was a huge upheaval last weekend, huge upheaval. So it's not set, but the guys at the top are starting to separate themselves. I mean, I think through this portion of the season, we can all agree Ohio State is the best football team in the country right now, the best in every aspect. They're the best. But you got some other teams that are kind of closing the gap on them. But there are some teams that – again, you and I have talked about this before. When you look at these preseason polls, I mean, they're not even worth the paper that they're written on. And so now when you look at what's happened now, especially last weekend, it's turned over.
you know what, though, Mac, next year preseason, we'll be looking at them just like we did this year.
Well,
even though they're not worth looking at.
I promise you, I don't look at them much and care about it, and you don't either, because let's just be honest. But you're right, because it's a point of conversation. The other thing that happens with it, if you don't live up to it, you're going to lose your job. We've already seen that happen, too.
We are going to get into that as we go through today's show. All 16 teams, as I mentioned, play each other. 8 games. It'll be the only time this season that the Southeastern Conference has every team playing the other team. 8 matchups in this. Halfway through the season, only 3 teams in conference play. We're talking about the SEC right now are undefeated. Ole Miss, A&M, and Alabama. Ole Miss and A&M are undefeated for the year. Of course, Alabama has that one loss that they had against in the first game of the year. Half of the Southeastern Conference, 8 teams have 0 or 1 loss. So, Mac, halfway through, we still have 8 teams that are in the thick of the running, not only for the conference championship, but also for the college football playoff. But some of that's going to be whittled down a little bit today and going forward, because I think every team has one more non-conference game.
Correct.
But five out of the last 6, and in some instances 6 out of the last 6 are all conference play. So we'll be talking about that. Let's talk about storylines we're going to get into pretty heavy today. Indiana, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, Georgia Tech. Teams that before the year thought Ole Miss was going to be good. Kind of questioned where Indiana was. Texas Tech, because of the infusion of all the NIL money. Georgia Tech had been building. But, Mac, for all of them to be undefeated right now and ranked where they're ranked, to me, that's a surprise. Really, you pick any one of them. Ole Miss, maybe not. I didn't think Indiana could be as good as they were last year. I watched them play a couple of times. I think right now they're better than they were last year. Of course, Texas Tech playing well in the Big 12, and Georgia Tech just rolling right along in the ACC.
Well, there's no doubt Indiana's better. Kirk Cignetti has done a marvelous job there. He's changed the entire perception of Indiana football, the entire perception he's changed of it. And for that win that they had last weekend, they're for real.
Let me throw one more team in there, too, Virginia. A surprise, but they're hanging in there right there too. Both Georgia Tech and Virginia right in the race for the Atlantic Coast Conference. Of course, Miami leading that. And then, Mac, we got the other side of the story. Florida State, Penn State, Clemson. Penn State, of course, made a coaching change. Clemson won't do that. They've got a coach that's won 2 national championships. But, boy, all 3 of those teams who were in the top 5 when we kicked off the season, no longer there, no longer even ranked in the top 25.
They don't deserve to be ranked in the top 25 because they've all 3 played themselves out of it. I mean, they've all 3 earned the drops that they've been on continuously during this season. You're 100% correct. Those 3, big disappointments, I'm sure, to their fan bases.
This is Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun, but please play responsibly.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
To coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Penn State fires James Franklin, 12 seasons there, and really excellent success, except Mac and the big ball games didn't ever quite get over that hump. But let's kind of look at where we are right now. Penn State's open, Arkansas's open, UCLA is open. Got a little asterisk by there. They got, all these places have interim coaches now. Oklahoma State is open, Virginia Tech's open, Stanford is open, and Oregon State. And I think, what do we have? We have 7 or 8 of those. That number's probably going to grow. I would not be surprised in this day and time of college football with that early signing date right in December and that early transfer portal. Mac, I would not be surprised to see this double and maybe even more than double to 14, 15, 16 teams before the season's over.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, a good lesson for this is if you have a son, don't let him get into coaching. Because this is a hard, hard way to make a living, especially at this level. It's a hard way to make a living. You and I are both sitting here. We made our living doing this for a long time. But you have to know what you're up against when you get into it. And the bottom line is, regardless of where you are, regardless of the level that you're coaching at as a head coach, it all comes down to one thing. Have I won more than I've lost? You're not going to win them all. But you lose enough of them, you're going to be just in that situation.
But on some of these programs, Penn State being one of those, certainly probably of this group, the most affected by this, there's high expectations there. You're expected not only to win conference championships, you're expected to compete for the national championship.
Well, and the reason is because you've got everything available to you. You got all the assets in the world that you want, you have there. And so when you're given more, more is expected of you, and you don't live up to it, they've got no problem getting together $45 million to buy you out. Let's just understand that.
Yep. And it's amazing. I guess it's amazing. Maybe with all the money in college athletics, it's not all that amazing. But $40 million, okay, let me go raise that. And I'm sure even Coach Franklin would say, again, he was there 12 years, had a great run, won a lot of ball games, but – you know, they just this year haven't played real well. Of course, they've lost 3 in a row, and 2 of those were teams that were easily defeated if they play well. They weren't playing very well, weren't playing together very well. That had to have a lot to do with the change.
It had everything to do with the change. But right now, it, with all of these job openings, there's $100 million that's being paid so far in buyouts this year. $100 million and counting.
Gonna get a lot higher than that in all likelihood. Mac, we're gonna take a look at the college football playoff a little bit, where the rankings are. Again, we're only halfway in. Southeastern Conference, like most conferences, they've only played 2 or 3 of their 8 and some conferences 9 game schedule. So we got so much to play with right now. But let's look at the non Power 5 schools that are in the running. Remember, folks, 12 teams go in. One of those has to be a non-Power 4 champion. And right now, Mac, all 3 of them that are in the running right now are in that same conference. The AAC, Memphis is 6-0. South Florida has 1 loss. It was to Miami. Tulane has 1 loss. It to his Ole Miss. So 2 teams that are right now ranked in the top 5 in the country. Let's talk just a little bit about those teams. Memphis in particular. The state of Tennessee right now, you have Memphis in the West, 6-0. You got Vanderbilt in the middle, 5-1. And you got Tennessee in the eastern part of the state, 5-1. Pretty good start for the university programs, the top university programs in this state.
You know, those three stars on the flag of Tennessee that represent all of those regions, they're all pretty proud of their football right now, and they should be, because Memphis is a good football team. You know, the other two, you know, you get to watch all the time. But if you watch Memphis play, they're playing together. They're a good football team right now. It wouldn't surprise me if they're the representative, as you say, in this group.
The one that's interesting to me is Tulane, because they have lost players. Well, let's just take an example. Maybe the best wide receiver in the Southeastern Conference, certainly one of them, and the best receiver at Tennessee, Chris Brazel, was at Tulane. They have had other players that they have lost. South Florida playing really well right now. But the one that interests me, one of the reasons is because it's in this state. But, you know, Memphis MAC is one of those what we call stepping stone jobs. That's where Norvell was. Of course, he went from there and did exceptionally well there. And it's kind of, if you go back and look at the history of Memphis when it was Memphis State, now the University of Memphis, there's a lot of coaches that leave there, not only head coaches, but assistant coaches, and get top jobs around the country. It's a great training school, and it's a place that wins a lot of ball games.
Yeah, well, here's, to me, they know what they're it's a lot to me like what North Dakota State is. They know the type of players they want to recruit. They know the type of players they want to bring in the portal. They clearly do a good job of evaluating talent, both in the high school level, which, you know, they're always going to do in that region. But the other thing that is important, they're evaluating some people because they have some people transferring in there also. And so, to me, you know, Memphis, and they've made a dedication to having a good football team there. You know, a lot of people think going clear back to Memphis State that it was just purely a basketball school. They've made a commitment to being a football place right now.
Only 9 ranked teams are still undefeated. Ohio State out of the Big Ten, number 1, and these kind of move around a little bit, but different polls are different polls. Miami and the ACC at 2. Indiana, we're going to discuss how the job that Coach Cignetti's doing there. A&M in the SEC, Ole Miss in the SEC, Texas Tech in the Big 12, Georgia Tech in the Atlantic Coast Conference, BYU in the Big 12, and of course the aforementioned ACC team in Memphis. Those are the only teams that are ranked that are still undefeated, and we know just looking at that list, several of those are going to be playing not only amongst themselves, they're also going to be playing teams within their conference. Matt, kind of looking at those right now, and again, very difficult to see how maybe one team, when they get through the conference championship, maybe one team will be undefeated. Maybe not any will be undefeated.
Yeah, I watched that BYU game. BYU game was an hour and a half lightning delay. They were playing in Tucson, and then 2 overtimes. That thing went on forever. They got a freshman quarterback. If you haven't watched BYU play, the kid's a dealer. The kid is a dealer. So BYU's always been one of those sneaky teams that when you look at, you always look at the record at the end of the year, they're always pretty good.
Mac, you know, the thing about that, it kind of reminds me a little bit about Tennessee's quarterback situation. Of course, we know what happened when Nico left, and then, of course, Joey Aguilar came in. BYU had much the same thing.
Absolutely,
they had
they
an
did.
Experienced quarterback, that Rex Rentschler, who, because of some academic, we won't get into all of that, was dismissed. They went with the freshman. I'm sure they didn't plan on him playing at all, but, boy, he has really stepped up, and BYU is sitting really good right now. By the way, BYU hosts Utah this week. We don't talk a whole lot about some of the I'm not going to say not as important, but we don't hear much about some of these in-state rivals. I coached in that state for 3 years at Weber State. BYU and Utah is a huge, huge ball game in that state, and they're kind of both the University of Utah. Certainly the University of Utah is, but BYU, of course, being the Mormon University, it's big there too. So, again, that's one of the games we're going to be discussing in a little bit. Last week, LSU, number 10 LSU plays at Vanderbilt. Number 5 Ole Miss is at number 9 Georgia. Number 11 Tennessee is at number 6 Alabama. Mac, thank goodness not all these are played at the same time, but boy, I think all these are going to be great ball games. We had a bunch of one-loss games last week. I would not be surprised to see every one of those three ball games go into maybe even the last drive, but certainly the fourth quarter with both teams having a chance to win.
Well, all of those teams that you're talking about are playing good football right now. And when you talk about the SEC, especially when you get into this point of the season, these are going to be one-score games. I mean, you can just about bet on that. They're going to be one-score games.
Other SEC matchups, again, every team's playing another conference team. A&M is at Arkansas. Missouri is at Auburn. Texas at Kentucky. Oklahoma at South Carolina. And Mississippi State at Florida. Two other ranked teams. There were five ranked matchups where both teams are in the top 25. USC and Notre Dame, at Notre Dame. One of the historical rivalries going back before you and I were even born.
It's a huge game.
That's a huge ball game. And the aforementioned Utah at BYU. A lot more we're going to get into. We're going to come back with lessons from the University of Tennessee-Arkansas ball game right here on Coach to Coach.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on, and that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I get the same cut every time. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay.
To Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Tennessee wins in Knoxville over Arkansas, 34-31. Arkansas coming in, of course, interim coach. I guess we'd call him interim coach. He's been there on almost every position you'd be in, Bobby Petrino. Mac, this game, and I was there, and I know you watched it. It was a game that looked out of reach starting in the fourth quarter, and suddenly it gets down to a one-possession ball game. Tennessee wins 34-31. Arkansas, we discussed this a little last week. They had an open week. Of course, they fired their coach the week before that. They fired or let three or four defensive assistants go. We kind of wondered how they were going to react. I think they really reacted really, really well, especially offensively. But they played hard. Again, I was at that. It was a physical football game. Tennessee did not play poorly. They didn't do all the fundamental things that we're going to get into here in a minute. But they did not play poorly. It was a really hard-hitting ball game. But I tell you, Arkansas showed a little something. And I wanted to ask you about this because we may not want to get into your story with the Chicago Bears. You were an interim coach for what, 3 days or 4 days or 2 hours?
No, I wasn't the interim coach. I was the coach.
The coach.
I was the head coach for 6 hours, did know it for three. I've done it all. I've done it all in this 40-year career.
But just talk a little bit about Petrino's certainly gone. All these interim coaches, we can say this about everyone that's been fired now. If they have an opportunity, the interim coach does, to show that the rest of the way, they all have at least six games left. Some of them had a couple more than that. But what do they have to show to so that they can – there was a reason why they were named interim. What do they have to show before they can really be a realistic candidate?
I was an interim head coach for the Arizona Cardinals before I got the job full time. And I mean, first of all, if you get the job as an interim head coach, things are not going great. If you're on the staff, clearly you were part of it not going great, but at the same time, the area that you were in charge of probably was not doing as badly as one that got the head coach fired. So I've been in that position personally before. So the first thing you do as an interim head coach is because you're there, you know what the pluses are, you know what the minuses are, and you have meetings immediately because you got to meet with the coaching staff and you got to decide who's going to stay on that coaching staff. Then you got to have an immediate meeting with the team because they've got to understand too that things are going to change, but they're not going to be a wholesale change. But you have to pretty much grab a hold because you got a game to play. You got a game to play next week. I mean, just in the SEC, in the National Football League, in the ACC, the train doesn't stop moving just because you've had an upheaval on your coaching staff. I've lived through that. I've gone through that. Now, Petrino has got he's got an advantage. He was a head coach before at the same place. That's a lot different. And so to me, the first thing you got to do is, though, you've got to identify the problems and try at least to get some of those problems worked out for the reason that the head coach was changed.
Well, one thing I know is going to play into this, and let's just take two different ball games. We mentioned University of Memphis. When Arkansas came to town and played a few weeks ago, well, right before they fired Coach Pittman, Arkansas had a 17-point lead. They ended up losing the ball game. In this ball game, Tennessee had a 17-point lead. Arkansas came back and had a possession to act tie or win the ball game. So that alone, I would show, I guess, improvement, at least if you're the athletic director looking at it. Let's talk about this Arkansas game and lessons. Going to spend just a minute on the offense because, quite frankly, they don't have a lot to clean up. Got to clean up some penalties, but by and large, this offense is playing at a high level right now. 10 positions, they scored on six of possessions, excuse me. They scored on six of them, and the other four they punted. And, Mac, what's the old axiom about, I know offensively, when I was on the offensive side of the football, you want to end every possession with a kick, either an extra point, a field goal, or a punt. So what does that mean? That means you're not turning the ball over. Tennessee, and it was a big part of this ball game, by the way, zero turnovers, and they had three takeaways.
Well, that's huge. I mean, it's huge, especially with a ball game. You just mentioned the big comeback. If they had not had that separation of score, they'd had some problems there at the end. But they separated the score big enough, early enough, and playing pretty much error-free football that it helped.
We're going to come back and look at the offensive Tennessee offensively on this when they were 17 up. In the fourth quarter, a couple of ways you can go. We're going to talk with Mac about that when we get through with the other lessons. But, Mac, let's talk about the kicking game. Last week at this time, we were talking about three huge mistakes in the kicking game. Tennessee corrected all of those. The only thing I saw was they need to kind of work on their pooch punt. They had a couple of opportunities. Folks, when you are punting the ball at your 50, or when you're punting it within 40, 45 yards of the 10-yard line, you expect to get that ball down somewhere around that 10-yard line. If it goes into the end zone, it's better to kick it to the 19-yard line and down it than it is to kick it 19 more yards into the end zone, because then they get it at the 20. I didn't think the execution was quite good, as good as it should have been on that. A little higher punt. Guys getting down there, getting turned around to keep it out of the end zone, but that certainly is something they can work on. Catching the punt much better. Arkansas did not try a fake field goal that we saw, so I thought all that was good. Gilbert in the kicking game too. He's only missed one field goal now, and had a 50-yarder there. Mac, you know, we expect those kickers because they're so good. But you kick a 45-to-50-yard field goal, that's a big kick, and it's a tough kick in a lot of instances.
Well, the job of a kicker, and again, I've said many times before on this program, and I've always said it, regardless of all the success I've had as a coach and moving up the ladder, I know nothing about how to kick it. Nothing. I used to tell them, just go between those two yellow things. And the thing that I would do is hire somebody that knew all the ins and the outs and those types of things. But that's not an easy job, because really, as a field goal kicker especially, you may just get one chance in a ball game. As a player, you're going to get 50 to 60 snaps a game. You get one time as a kicker. A lot of pressure on these dudes. I have major respect for them, but I'm the first to admit I know nothing about it.
Well, and who are all eyes on? That kicker. They're not looking at anybody else but that kicker. Quickly on the offense, just some lessons that I jotted down here. Mac, you may have one or two others. Not much really to talk about. Good fundamental game all the way around. Didn't lay the ball on the ground. Didn't have an interception. Penalties, you're always going to have some of those. I would say this, the one critique that I would make, after Tennessee got up 17 and Arkansas scored, when Tennessee got the ball back, they had just had the Lewis youngster who had really ran physical and hard, pick up a lot of tough yards. They put in the more of the scat back in Thomas. If I'd have been the running back coach there, the only way I'd have put Thomas in is if the head coach told me to, because Lewis was – and they were going to pound the football. They got in two tight ends. They were going to pound the football. That would be the only slight critique there. And the other thing I would say this, let Aguilar be Aguilar. We've seen enough of him to now know. And one of the things he did in this game, you know, Coach Heupel and Coach Halsey have been talking to him about this. I thought this was a very smart run decisions. Got out of bounds a couple of times. This guy's 6'3". I was looking at him before the ball game. Standing next, he's 6'3", 225, maybe even more than that. He is a big dude, and he runs physical, but you got to kind of pick your times on that. The only critique that I would say, there were three turnovers. Two of them were in Arkansas's end of the field. Didn't get any points out of that. Need to take it. Got to get at least a field goal when your defense gives you the ball on their side of the field.
Well, you have to. You just have to finish it up. That's what you want to do. That's what you're talking about. And when you've got a lead like that, you don't ever want to pull off the gas, but you don't want to put the ball in harm's way. And there's a fine line of that.
All right, let's get on defense, because that's where a lot of the critique comes on this. Defending the quarterback is difficult when you got one that can run. But even with that said, Mac, we know that part of the game plan was to keep him under control. They didn't come close to keeping him under control. I thought the execution of that was bad. They lost contain too much. They didn't tackle well. Tried to knock the running backs down, especially the quarterback at times, very poor. They got a 15-yard targeting penalty on the quarterback. And let's just start with that right there. I don't care if you're in the NFL. I don't think they got it quite in high school yet, but you certainly have it in college. They're going to protect that quarterback. If it is close, that flag is coming out. This was a young linebacker that'll learn, but that targeting kept a drive going and ended up setting up another touchdown.
Yeah, well, you just got to understand that the quarterback, whether you like it or not, it's they have extra protection. And there's no way you can go in there, and you can't go in there and hit them late. You can't lead with your head. All of those types of things are in the game of football now. You just can't do that. And when you do, that is free yardage. The other thing that is it's errors that are not – they're not competition errors. They're giving up. They're giving up field position. You can't do that. And especially a running quarterback, running quarterbacks in college are an issue for defenses anyway. But when you got one, especially that big, that can move like that, you need a constant plan with that, because you know, especially with Bobby Petrino taking that thing over, you knew he was going to run that quarterback. He's going to run the quarterback. That guy was going to run. So you needed a plan to take care of him down in and down out.
Now, you got to give a lot of credit to game plan, but you also have to give a lot of credit to Taylen Green. But you also have to give some responsibility here. We were both defensive coordinators. We didn't always have the best game plan, as it turned out, when you went in there. Remember, Tennessee got beat at Arkansas by this guy. So they knew what this guy can do. Mac, he had 91 yards rushing. He had 256 passing. He had 347 total yards. That is excellent. And I guess you look at one of two things. Was it a poor game plan, or was it a poor game plan and or execution of that game plan? Whichever one it was, about got him beat.
Yeah, to me, it was more execution. You've got to tackle. It doesn't matter. You've got to tackle well. The game plan, this is a good defensive staff there at Tennessee. They knew this quarterback was a problem. I mean, they knew he was going to be a problem.
And they got more problems coming up with teams, because about three of the teams that Tennessee ends up with are in that same position. Mac, as we end up this segment, let's do this. 17 points up in the fourth quarter. Finish. That's the name of that. But I want you to talk about this from a defensive coordinator standpoint now, certainly the head football coach is visiting with you on that. There's two ways you can go on this, right? You can either play good, solid defense, rush four, and make them run the clock, or you can keep your what's been working for you with a lot of pressure. Head coaches will sometimes say, hey, let's just, make them use those timeouts, make them eat up the clock. You were a coordinator. You were also a head football coach. How do you figure those things out in the middle or the end of a ball game?
Well, first of all, you got to go with how the game has been going, and that's number one. You got a 17-point lead. Clearly, you've been doing some things right, but the thing that you don't want to do, anytime you're up like that, you don't want to give them the explosive play, because two explosive plays, you're back in the game. So, to me, you play good, solid defense. You don't try to trick it up, but when you pull everybody together over there, you say, hey, tackle. We've got to tackle. If they're going to go the distance, make them go the distance.
You know, both of us know this, so whichever one you do, if it doesn't work, you should have done the other one, right?
Yeah, well, and here's the plus about it is they won the game. They won the game, but that's the yin and the yang of coaching. Whatever you do, if you don't win, then it was wrong. Whatever you do and you win, it was right.
Biggest stat without question, 3 takeaways, 0 turnovers, win by 3. Clearly the difference in the ball.
Take the win and move on.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Bill Mayo here, VFL from 1981 through 1984. For the last 5 decades, Volunteer Welding has been supplying Tennessee companies with industrial gases, welding supplies, CO2, and propane for all their business needs. Our goal is great local service with national capabilities. Check out our customer-friendly website at volunteerwelding.com, with locations across the Volunteer State in Nashville, Knoxville, Cookeville, Tullahoma, and Jackson. Volunteer Welding can meet all of your business needs.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
Spotlight games have become a favorite of Coach Mack and myself. Let's go back to last week's. We had one, Indiana, Oregon, great ball game, and what a huge win for the Indiana program. Mack, I go back when they, I think in 68, they won the Big Ten and went to the Rose Bowl, which is what the goal was back then. That's a long time ago. I don't think there's been a win even come. Well, I know there hadn't. There hadn't been a win even come close to this. Oregon was coming in maybe one of the two best teams in the country. Indiana won this football game, and it was I watched the replay of it. What a great game to watch.
I was completely wrong about this game. Playing in Eugene, as good a football team as Oregon is, I thought Indiana was good. I didn't. And again, we talk about the Big Ten geographically, how spread out it is right now. That's a long way to go. They beat the doors off of them from the start of the ball game. I mean, they were hammering them, and you kept watching it, and you kept watching it. I tell you what, everybody there in that stadium was stunned. They had College Game Day was there. It was a huge, huge setting. Kurt Cignetti and his group, I mean, they, as we say in Texas, they stepped up to the lick log there and gave nobody else a shot at it. They beat them. They beat them physically in this football game. I was completely wrong about the outcome of that ball game. I was impressed with Indiana.
Well, I ain't real smart about a lot of things, but I would say this. I don't know who the front runner for the Penn State game is, but I bet I know who the front runner for the Penn State job is, and he's over at Indiana right now in Bloomington.
Absolutely he is. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, his profile was being raised anyway by what he had done last year. But to win a signature ball game like that, come on.
Utilized the transfer portal extremely well, and quite frankly, did not get the top players out of the portal. They went other places on that. Great, great job.
That's a football family. I coached with his brother at the Rams. His brother Frank Cignetti at the Rams. And, you know, their dad was a coach. I mean, this is a football family. But what he has done, impressive.
And I think he's in his early 60s. Maybe one of those jobs where you want to stay. I don't know, but he's certainly going to have some looks on. And let's give not only the head football coach, this staff has done a tremendous job with this football team.
Well, how about let's give the University of Indiana, too, because how much in recent years have anybody thought of Indiana as a football powerhouse?
Well, I hadn't thought of them ever as a football powerhouse.
Well, mentioned 1968. I was a junior in high school. I mean, that's a long time ago. And for what he's done, that's the story right now to me of the college football season.
All right, that was last week.
Yeah.
This is this week. Three spotlight games all in the Southeastern Conference. I'm going to hit them, and then we'll come back and talk. LSU at Vanderbilt, Ole Miss at Georgia, Tennessee at Alabama. Let's start with LSU. Vanderbilt played well down in Tuscaloosa. They got LSU at home, still pretty darn healthy. What do you think?
Look, Vanderbilt, especially this year at home, has been playing really, really good football. LSU to me is one of those types of teams. If they can jump out early on you, you've got a problem. But if it's playing knuckles to knuckles, Vanderbilt right now can stand in there with people.
Yes, they can. I will say this. Maybe a little drop-off and maybe some support for Vanderbilt. I watched that Alabama game twice, a replay of that game twice. You know, take away that touchdown at the end, last play of the ball game. That game was a 9-point ball game, and it was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. All right, Ole Miss, undefeated, ranked number 4 or 5, depending on what poll you're looking at, coming in to between the hedges at Georgia. Ole Miss can take a loss. Georgia can't afford another one in the SEC. I'll give them two.
Yeah, well, to me, Georgia is standing on a tightrope right now. They're standing on a tightrope right now. They're playing between the hedges. Ole Miss is going to have to play over and above what they've done to beat Georgia there at Ole Miss.
Tennessee, Alabama, much the same. Alabama does have one loss, but it's not a conference loss. Tennessee has one loss at home, and that was against Georgia. I think this is going to be a great ball game. Both of these teams looks like relatively healthy. Nobody is 100% healthy coming into these ball games, Mac. But you've watched these teams play an awful lot. Two quarterbacks with different styles. Two quarterbacks. One's a transfer portal player. The other was this is his fourth year, redshirt sophomore at Alabama. Two distinctly different types of maybe head football coaches, the way they go about things. Should be a great ball game, and whoever wins this is going to come out with another step up. Not only are they going to move up in the top 10, they're also going to be right up there in the top of the Southeastern Conference. Tennessee already has one conference loss, so two would put them in tough position, not for the playoffs. You can get in there with two. Alabama, of course, could afford another loss, but again, that would give them two also, and that goes back to our old two-loss threshold that you got to work with.
I like Tennessee in this ball game, though, the way that Tennessee's playing right now, and I know Alabama's playing better, but Alabama has played better. I like the continuity of Tennessee, though, right now.
Tennessee 2-2 the last 4 years. Of course, those two wins came on the road. Came at home. The two losses came on the road. Tough place to play. We say that about every Southeastern Conference.
Well, there's no easy play. I mean, when we were doing the Mississippi State game, there's no easy place to play in that. If you're a visitor, there's just none.
I want to talk about one more game from last week. This game was not the spotlight game, but it was a big ball game. Missouri was undefeated. Alabama was coming in. That was a great ball game, 3-point game, and I watched that replay twice too. Boy, Missouri played well in that ball game. They're good.
That was a real ball game. And Columbia, Mo, I mean, I coached there for 3 years. They get up for football there. I mean, they were. That atmosphere was electric there.
Drinkwitz's done a good job there, hasn't he?
Done a really good job.
Yeah.
He's done a really good job. And he took some slings and arrows early on because he's a little bit different dude.
He is.
But he's a good football coach, and he's done a good job there.
I've called him before, and I mean this, and it's a positive. He's kind of a poor man's Steve Spurrier. Likes to crack a few jokes. Doesn't do it quite as well as Spurrier does. Then they don't come off quite the same, but a very good football coach.
Very good coach.
I think that's the thing they pay you for, right?
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun, but please play responsibly.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs. Sit. Stay. Eat. At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on. And that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes. So I get the same cut every time. No stress. No worries. No questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
Weekly drive around college football, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Time for, I guess we're going to have to start calling this Coach's Corner. Mac, that's something that they used to talk about on the air a few times. But what Mac and I like to do, we started doing this year, is kind of talk from truly coach to coach about some of the things that go on in a football game or in a football season. So let's talk about some of those right now. We're halfway through the season. Injuries become a part of the game, always. The ability, though, to build depth during those first few ball games from those soakers, and, of course, going into last spring, that really shows up now going forward because, again, everybody has a player or two. Maybe they're not out for the year, but they miss snaps, they miss ball games. And again, Mac, those coaching staffs who have developed those younger players, those soakers, these first six ball games, those are going to hopefully pay dividends coming out.
Well, that's why you have to have a plan, especially early in the season. If you are when you're playing ball games that you should win, you need a plan to be able to play those guys because time on task is extremely, extremely important. So it has to be very, very intentional. Because here's the percentage chance of somebody getting hurt, 100%, 100%. I mean, that's the percentage. So what you're saying is so true, but you have to have a plan to do it. You can't just all of a sudden come up and say, oh, we should have played this, guys. You've got to have a plan to play them, especially early in those ball games where you've got the upper hand. That's huge, hugely important.
I've had several emails and texts this past week from folks who listen to the show, and they've several of them have said basically the same thing. By the way, if you'd like to send in a question or maybe you would like for something to talk about, CoachDougMatthews@gmail.com. One T and Matthews on that. Get it to us and we'll talk about it. But, Mac, we talk about this a lot and maybe don't explain it quite well enough. Setting the edge, a couple of difference in passing game and running game. But let's talk about, and you do a great job of this, talk about what we mean when we talk about setting that edge on run plays by those defensive ends and strong safeties.
Well, when you talk about playing run defense, first of all, those eight gaps haven't changed since the Four Horsemen at Notre Dame. Those eight gaps are the same across the front. So it's easy to understand, but when you start talking to your team about defense, the first thing you talk about is building a wall. You build a wall by inside gaps. But setting an edge, and the worst thing that you can say, I mean, it's a misnomer when you say you got contain. It's not contain. You can run up the field and run a rainbow, and you can be outside of everything and put in huge Grand Canyon-like gaps between you and the wall that you're trying to set. So if you set an edge, you're setting a hard edge. And to set a hard edge, defensively, what you have to have, first of all, you've got to understand, what is the scheme are we playing? If we are gonna hammer everything from the edge, if you're hammering everything from the edge, you're setting the edge with your inside shoulder and your inside foot up and your outside arm and your outside leg free. But you're squeezing the edge of the defense into the wall of the defense. So it's build a wall, set an edge. It's not contain. Contain is the worst thing you can say because guys will run up the field and say, I was outside, coach. I was outside of everything. Well, yeah, you were. And you see everything running up inside of you. So you got to set an edge. Now, if you are going to play the edge of the defense, if you're going to set the edge and you're going to hammer it, you're pushing it back inside. You can also defensively splatter it. If you're going to splatter it, you're going to cross shoulder and come underneath. But if you're doing that, then you have to back up your second level and you have to shorten your third level defenders because they're going to play the bounce out. But you've got to, everybody's got to understand, it's got to work in conjunction. It's not just one person that's holding the edge. You also have to have feel, and you also have to understand where everybody fits. But it's not, contained is the worst thing you can say. Set an edge, and you're setting a hard edge. That's important, to squeeze it back to the wall.
And you want to squeeze it back inside, because that's where your thumpers are, those two linebackers. That's where they make their living. That's why they're the leading tacklers. If they get outside, if you don't set that edge, if you let that running back get outside, now it's a foot race to the sideline. Mac, we expect another good week. I can't wait to get to talk about some of these ball games next week on Coast to Coast. We're about halfway through Coast to Coast season also.
Goes fast, Coach.
Yeah,
going fast.
It does. Give me, we got about a minute here before we got to go. Give me overall view of the nationwide of what you've seen so far. Not particularly teams, but the style of play, the type of play.
Well, the SEC, again, has got bored teams that you've got to worry about.
10 teams in the top 25 right
that's,
now, by the
that,
way.
That, again, I'm not real good at math,
yeah,
but 10 out of the top 25, that's nearly half of them.
Folks, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being part of the show today. For Dave McGinnis, this is Doug Matthews saying, have a whoever you play root for, we hope they play well this week.
Clock just hit zero. Join us next week for our weekly coaches meeting. This is Coach to Coach.